Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read from verse 14 through verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he says, "Wake up, thou that sleepest, and rise up from among the dead, and the Christ shall shine upon thee. See, therefore, how ye walk carefully, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. For this reason, be not foolish, but understanding what is the will of the Lord. And be not drunk with wine, in which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank Thee for gathering us together again before Thee. Lord, Thou hast been faithful. Thou hast been gracious to us, that in these last days, in these difficult times, Thou hast gathered us to hear Thy word, to strengthen us, that we may be able, Thy good army, and we may fight a good fight. Lord, we just commit ourselves to Thee for this morning. Speak, Thy servants are hearing. We ask in Thy name. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, we thank God for giving us another opportunity to be together, to hear God's word, and to be better prepared for His imminent return. To me, I feel every time God has given us such opportunity, we really want to thank God, because it is His desire that we be prepared, that we'll be ready to be His bride. You know how the bridegroom is anxious for seeing the bride arrive. So our Lord Jesus, more than any husband in the world, He is anxious to come to claim us as His bride. But He cannot come when the bride is not ready. I always remember what Brother Lance Lambert said. God, the Lord cannot marry a little child. He has to have someone who is of His own stature, that they may be united into one. So, dear brothers and sisters, we thank God for He has given us opportunities again and again to prepare us for His return. And this is the reason why we are here. I think we all know what our theme is: redeem the time. Now, what is time? God lives before time. But he uses time to accomplish his purpose. God has a tremendous purpose in his heart. The Bible tells us even before the foundation of the world, before anything was created, God had in his heart a will. And that is, he wants his son to be the heir of all things. He was thinking of creation, of creating things in the heavens and upon the earth. But he had a problem, because God knows everything beforehand. He knew that the angel that he created will rebel against him. He also knew the man that he will create later on will also rebel against him. Now, how is he going to make all things to be under the feet of his beloved son? So if we can use a human way of saying, while he was considering this matter, his son steps in and said, "Father, go ahead. Whatever thou dost desire to do, I'm willing to give myself to be the Redeemer." So, brothers and sisters, this is how God began to create all things. And it all happens according to what God has foreknown. Brothers and sisters, we are today in the 21st century, when our Lord Jesus was on earth. Before he left, he promised his disciples that he goes to prepare a place for them. And after he has prepared that place, he will come back and receive them to himself. This was a promise given over 2,000 years ago. But dear brothers and sisters, century and century passed, but there was no sound of his coming. But that doesn't mean that he will not come. We are now living in the beginning of the 21st century. So we can see that how much closer today we are to the coming of the Lord than anybody else before our century. From all the indications, from all what the Bible has said. Now, some brothers and sisters may be waiting for some prophecies to be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord. But let me tell you, all the prophecies before the coming of the Lord have been fulfilled. There is no more prophecy to be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean there is no more prophecy. There are still many prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord during the coming of the Lord and after his coming. But dear brothers and sisters, know this. All the prophecies preceding the coming of the Lord have been fulfilled. The next event will be the coming of the Lord. The Lord is coming. Hopefully, if by his grace we are prepared, then we can hasten his return. So in a sense, I won't say it depends on us, because everything depends upon God. But I will say, we are very important concerning his return. If by his grace we are prepared, ready, grown up, filled with the stature of Christ, he won't wait any longer. He will come back. So, brothers and sisters, this is the burden in our hearts. How can we redeem the time? We have already said that God used time to accomplish his work. But God's enemy, the fallen angel, he also knows there is a time. And he's trying to postpone that time as much as possible. And the only way is if he can entice man. That, in a sense, will delay the return of the Lord. So this is the reason why we find the world is getting worse and worse. Satan is trying every means to postpone the time. And the way to postpone the time is try to tempt God's people from being completed in Christ Jesus. So that's the reason why we find the scripture said, the time is evil. We are living in a time, in the days that are evil. Why? Because God's enemy is trying very hard to prolong, to delay the coming of our Lord. So, the exhortation from the Word of God is, do not be foolish. That we walk carefully. That we may understand the will of God. Brothers and sisters, I'm thinking especially of the young people. When we were young, I don't think we have all these temptations that you have today. Even though we did have all temptations, but to compare with today, we find that the young people at this time is under greater temptation than ever before. The enemy try to tempt the young people to love the world. But the Bible says, love not the world, nor the things of the world. Why? Because the world is passing. The things of the world are passing. They are not permanent. We need to be aware of it. And we need to seek to do the will of God. Only by doing the will of God, we will be able, better ready for the return of our Lord. But dear brothers and sisters, the question is, how can we be better prepared? Who is going to prepare us? We thank God that He has made every provision for us. He has not only saved us, but the Bible says He will save us to the uttermost. So He has prepared everything for us to be matured, for us to be grown up and be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. But how? And this is what I want to share with you, dear brothers and sisters, this morning. Now, in order to do that, we have to go back to the very beginning. When we were saved, I suppose all who are here this morning have been saved. If you haven't been saved, hopefully this time you will be saved. We are saved not by our own merits. We are saved by the grace of God. But dear brothers and sisters, we do not know when we are saved how God has made provision for us to be grown up and be matured in Christ Jesus. Of course we know, before we were saved, our spirit was dead. Now often remember the Russian cosmonaut when he first went into outer space. He came back and said, "There is no God." Why? Because I have been in space. I look around, I do not see God anywhere. Now, isn't that foolishness? Because God is spirit. The only way you can contact God is by your spirit. You cannot contact him with your mind or even with your body. Many years ago, when I was in the Philippines, I went to a place called Dagata. I saw a church building. So I went in. And when I went into that church building, I saw near the pulpit a few statues, kneeling statues. But when I drew closer, I noticed, no, they were nuns. A few nuns were kneeling before the altar, motionless. My first reaction is, how pious they are. But the Lord corrected me right away. He said, worship is not an outward thing. You may appear to be very pious outwardly, but how about your heart? So I learned a lesson that day. But dear brothers and sisters, thank God he has made every provision for us to be matured. Why? Because when he saved us, not only that our sins had been forgiven, I think for most Christians, when they were first saved, it is over the problem of their sins. That's what happened to me. And how I thank God, because he has washed away my sins. The sin burden fell from me. I feel so light. I feel so free. Brothers and sisters, but that's at least of what the Lord has done for us. Because there are many positive things that God has done in saving us. He has not only restored our spirit that was dead in sins and transgressions had now been cleansed, renewed, restored. So we have a new spirit in each and every one of us. That's the reason why we can fellowship with God. I remember I have prayed from my childhood. But my prayer always hit the ceiling and came back. I never knew whether my prayer would be answered. But the day when God has saved me, my connection with God was made. My spirit is brought to life. And it is by my spirit that I contact God, the Spirit. But more than that, our Lord Jesus came into our spirit to be the life in our spirit. Now, how good is that? Jesus Christ dwells in my heart. And he is to control that spirit. And by him, we are able to contact God. More than that, not only Christ is the life of our spirit, But the Holy Spirit of God also come and dwell in our spirit. We have the indwelt Holy Spirit. Every brother and sister, everyone who is saved, not only has Christ as his life, but also the Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit. So the question is, why does he dwell in our spirit? What is he working? What is his job? We know the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. He has one job, one work, and that is the work of seeing that Christ grows in us. Seeing that whatever is not of Christ, he will remind us and help us to get rid of them. That is why the Holy Spirit is in us. So, dear brothers and sisters, every brother and sister, not only has Christ in him, he has the Holy Spirit indwells him or her. And he is very diligent. I believe from the very moment you are saved, the Holy Spirit began to work in your life. He is trying to bring you out of the world, out of yourself, and into Christ Jesus. I believe everyone has that experience. You know, sometimes we heard some young people ask, you talk about the Holy Spirit dwells in us, but I do not feel it. How do I know he is in me and he is working? I think that's very simple. Because after you are saved, I believe you all will have this experience, more or less. Sometimes you frequented some places that you shouldn't go. But after you are saved, you may be trying to go there again. But then you find a still small voice within you saying you are now a Christian. Do you think it is a proper place for you to go? And probably your experience is, you will say, why not? And you try to go. But after you went, what happened? You find that your contact, communion with God, somehow was interrupted. You cannot restore that communion with God until you confess your sin. I think this probably is a very common thing that will happen to you. Or probably, before you were saved, you like to boast. You like to say things that are not real. And you may be the center of a other friends. And after you boast, you feel very happy about it. But after you are saved, you try again. If you try to boast, there is a still small voice telling you that is not true. But I believe we all have such experience. We continue to boast. But are we happy about it? No. We find ourselves miserable. And unless we confess before God and be true, our contact with God is interrupted. So, brothers and sisters, in these small things, He will begin to deal with us. You know, our spirit has three functions, main functions. Number one, in our spirits there is the conscience. You know, we often hear people say, I do everything according to my conscience. But you know, our conscience was not dependable before we were saved. Why? Because we have lost the standard. God is the standard of our conscience. But we have lost the standard. After we are saved, the standard was restored. So God is now the standard of our conscience. You know, in the world, people's conscience follow the custom, the environment that he lives in. But we who are the Lord's, we live before God. And whenever we do something that is not peace to our conscience, we find our relationship with God is interrupted. So, in our conscience today, brothers and sisters, God has restored the proper use of our conscience. His conscience would bother him, and not until you cooperate with God, your conscience will continue to be accusing you. So that's the way he's trying to purify us. Just to give you an illustration of myself, I'm a pastor's son. But I like movie. Before I was saved, I used to spend my time on Saturday in the movie house. And I have a friend who owned the movie house, so I don't need to pay anything. When the newspaper comes, the first page I look is the movie news. Now, you would say, a pastor's son probably would not do that. But I did. But after I was saved, I still went to see movies. But somehow my conscience began to bother me. I tried to argue, but there is no use. My conscience just bothered me. So I told the Lord, if you don't like it, I'll try not to go. But I won't tell anybody, because I'm not sure of myself. If I fail, nobody knows. So I recall how for several months, I didn't go to any movie. My aunt told me, you are a young man. Have some fun. I'll give you money to go to see movie. But I couldn't. Then one day, a religious movie came to Shanghai. I still remember very vividly. It called Noah's Ark. And people sent us tickets. Now there's a struggle within me. I say, what's wrong with a religious movie? So I went. But let me tell you, I went into the theater, looked at the movie. For 2 hours, I was fighting with it. My conscience is telling me, this is not a place you should be. But I wouldn't go out. I was just fighting and fighting within me the whole time. But thank God, that was my last time to go to a theater to see a movie. The Lord has delivered me. So dear brothers and sisters, you find that the Spirit of God is very real. He begins to work in you. And he tries to purify you, sanctify you, that you may be totally God and not of the world. Now, we usually say a people who is unsaved, his conscience is not dependable. Because his conscience doesn't have its proper object. God is no longer the standard of his conscience. It's the custom of the world that becomes the standard. So it's not dependable. But brothers and sisters, after we are saved, God will be the standard of our conscience. It's very important. You remember the Apostle Paul. Again and again, he witnessed before man. Once he was in the Jewish council. And what did he say? He said, I live my life with a good conscience. Another time he was with the governor, Felix. And he said, I keep my conscience without offense before God and man. So to a Christian, conscience is very important. We need to keep our conscience clear. Then we can stand up before God and man. Now, the Spirit of God not only work upon our conscience, that we may have a good conscience before God and man. He also works upon our intuition. You know, we usually learn from outside. We read the books. We listen to lectures. We gather information from outside and store them in our mind, our data. That's the way we learn. But thank God, when he is teaching us, he will touch our intuition. That is to say, it is not something outside you absorb. Intuition is within you. And the Holy Spirit will speak to your intuition. And whatever he has done in your intuition, that is the will of God. So you remember in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, He said, we have the unction, the anointing within us. That is to say, we have the Holy Spirit within us. And he will teach us in all things. And whatever he teaches is true. Big things, small things. He will teach us in all things. And if we follow his teaching, we will abide in Christ. So how do you know you abide in Christ? I remember once I asked a group of young people, how do you know that you abide in Christ? And they gave me different answers. Some say you need to read the Bible more. Others say you need to pray more, and so forth. But the Bible says we have to listen to the teaching of the anointing. The Holy Spirit within you is teaching you directly. On your intuition, you intuitively know what is right, what is wrong. And when he is teaching you in this way, and you obey, then you will find you are growing in the Lord. And not only that, our spirit has another function called worship. You remember in John chapter 4, how our Lord Jesus talked to a Samaritan woman. That we worship not in places, not in Jerusalem, nor in Samaria. It is by spirit and truth. So deep in our spirit, we worship God. That is the way that the Holy Spirit trying to make us grow up in Christ Jesus. But dear brothers and sisters, we have not only problems in our spirit, we have even more problem with our soul. Why? Because when we are saved, Christ came into our spirit to be the life of it. But we ourselves is still living in our soul. In other words, our soul's life is ourself. Now that is the reason why you find in Romans chapter 7, after Paul was saved, he finds that he is as if he is two men. Within him, he knows God's will and wants to do God's will. But then there is another life in his soul. His own self say no. And he finds his self is stronger. And oftentimes, he has to follow his self instead of Christ. And he longs for deliverance. So brothers and sisters, we find that the Holy Spirit, he will not only touch our spirit, but he will also deal with our soul. Our soul has emotion. You know, emotion usually is the clearest, most active part of our soul. But the Holy Spirit will deal with our emotions. You remember in Matthew chapter 10, the Lord Jesus said, if you love your father and mother, brother and sister, your wife and your own life, more than me. You are not worthy to be my disciples. What's wrong with loving our parents, loving our brothers and sisters, and even loving our life? What's wrong with that? Isn't in the commandment, Ten Commandments, love your parents, honor your parents, and you will have long life. So what's wrong with that? Brothers and sisters, this is not a matter of right or wrong. It is a matter of life or not. If we love the Lord more than anybody, more than our life, you know what will happen? We will love them even better, in the right way. So our emotion needs to be dealt with. And the Holy Spirit is working on it. He will cleanse our emotion and allow us to have the right emotion. In other words, our emotion will not express ourselves. Our emotion will express Christ. Not only our emotion, but our mind. Our mind is also very active. But Lord, we'll deal with our mind. You remember in chapter 16 of Matthew, the Lord told Peter, you are mindful of yourself instead of mindful of God's will. So our mind needs to be cleansed and redeemed. And not only our mind, but even our will. Again, you find in Matthew 26, the Lord's Prayer in the Garden of Eden. Not my will, but thy will be done. So, dear brothers and sisters, as we are talking of redeeming the time, in the practical way, this is the way of redeeming the time. In other words, we need to cooperate with the indwelt Holy Spirit. And when we are doing that, not only our spirit, but even our soul will be delivered. So that's the way to redeem our time. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we want to thank Thee because Thou hast not only saved us, but Thou want to save us to the uttermost. We praise and thank Thee that it is Thy will that we should be fully grown into Christ Jesus, that we may be able to be His bride, to glorify Him. Lord, we pray that Thy indwelt Spirit in each and every one of us will work in us until Christ is fully formed in every one of us. O Lord, that we may be ready to meet Thee. And this is our prayer. We ask in Thy name.